T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And brought to you by Everything Checking from Dollar Bank. Open your account now at dollar.bank/300. Pirates 9-game losing skid, dead last in the NL Central. They'll have the number one pick in next month's amateur draft. Based on the current standings, they're in the number three draft position for the draft next year. I think the Astros had what? Back-to-back-to-back first overall picks. And one of them was Mark Appel, the Pirates draft pick who didn't sign. And then, man, what is he up to?
Not baseball, I think. I think he might still be toiling for somebody in the minors, but it hasn't worked out the way Mark Appel thought it
Nationals
would.
Got Strasburg and Harper back-to-back. That worked out okay.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm really excited to talk to our next guest. This is the Out of Office Report brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture. He is one of the best college baseball analysts going. He's on his way to Omaha to cover the College Baseball World Series. Vanderbilt is there, and that means the two big pitchers that Pirates fans have been thinking about for about a year. Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, who helped pitch Vanderbilt into the College Baseball World Series. He's also a nine-year vet in the big leagues and a number one overall draft pick. Ben McDonald with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Ben, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Mueller, how you doing today?
Good. Good afternoon. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing better than the Pirates, who are just, you know, free-falling here, Ben. But maybe the optimism here is that they've got the number one pick. And you've watched these two guys, Rocker and Leiter, up close. We're trying to figure out why the Major League Baseball media seems to have dropped those guys in their draft rankings. Can you help explain that to us?
No, I really can't, because when I see them pitch, it's big-time stuff, both of them, you know. And you know about Rocker and what Rocker did as a true freshman 3 years ago at Vanderbilt.
What'd he do? Tell our listeners, Ben, in case they don't know. What'd he do as a true freshman?
Well, I mean, as a true freshman, he jumped on the bump for Vanderbilt and pitched him all the way to the College World Series championship, you know, and he was the most outstanding player as a true freshman. So it's a big arm, it's a big motor, but it's a slow heartbeat for Kumar Rocker. And in the big moments, he really seems to rise. He's a big-time pitcher. You love the body type. I mean, he's a guy 6'4", 6'5", 240, 250. He's just like a horse to me. I mean, a guy that's going to pitch, you know, for 10 years in the big leagues. There's no doubt in my mind, you know. And he's got all the intangibles that you like. Now, does he still have to develop? Yes, he's mostly a fastball slider. The slider is the difference maker for him, although the fastball, you know, can average 94, 95. But, you know, he's working on a cutter and a changeup, and I think that's the next step for him, especially as a starting pitcher. You know, at the professional level, you need three or four different pitches that you can land on, you know. And so he's a big-time dude for me, y'all. Now Jack Leiter's a little bit undersized. You know, he's in that six-foot range. But the stuff of Jack Leiter just jumps off the charts at you. You know, we talk a lot about the analytics of today, and he can really spin both the fastball, the four-seam fastball, it's better than big league average. You know, it averages 95 miles an hour. The breaking ball's above big league average spin rate, too, and he's got a couple different breaking balls and a changeup as well. And so, look, when people ask me all the time, who would you pick, you know, Rocker or Leiter? And I always say, that's like asking me to choose between a crawfish etouffee or boiled crawfish. Like, you ain't going wrong either way. I mean, look, you ain't going wrong either way. I'm just telling you. Now, in the history of the draft, and here's what some GMs are getting off of, and you guys know this. In the history of the Major League Draft, position players has outperformed pitchers early at the top. And I think that's what scares a lot of GMs today. You know, there's a lot of arm injuries out there, as you guys know. And I think that's what scares some guys out there. But, you know, and I know these high school shortstops, you know, that are out there, the Jordan Lawlers of the world and Brady Houses, and I think it's Marcelo Mayer, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Those guys have got a lot of traction lately, too. And I've never seen these guys play, I understand. And some of them are getting Bobby Witt Jr. comparisons, and that's a mouthful if that's true, you know. And so, but if you're looking for a guy or two guys that not going to spend much time in the minor leagues, can hop in. And I'm not saying either one of these guys are real, like, number ones. Like, they ain't going to be, I don't know if they're a Scherzer or those kind of guys, but they're definitely a rotation pieces. And so if you're looking for a guy that can help you out in the near future, like in a year or two from now, I think these are your guys. Where your high school shortstops, I mean, look, those guys could be 4 or 5 years before they make it to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you say everybody asks you to pick between them, and it's like picking between, what, crawfish etouffee and boiled crawfish here. I'm still going to ask you to pick, which one do you want here? Who would you feel better about if you were the GM making that selection? Who would you feel better about taking of those two?
If I'm going that route, it's just something about Jack Leiter's stuff to me. When I look at his stuff, and I mentioned this high spin rates and the velocity on both the breaking ball and the fastball, doesn't help when your dad pitched, you know, doesn't hurt when your dad pitched 20 years in the big leagues and your uncle pitched 12 years and your cousin pitched 2 years in the big leagues. So this guy comes with an understanding. In other words, he gets it. Like, he has been there before. The expectations are there. The dad pitched in the big leagues. And so he just goes about his business like a professional. So if you got to put me on the spot and say, who you taking, I would probably take Jack Leiter. The size concerns me a little bit, but I think the way he gets down the slope, he's got the, and you guys have seen him, he's got these big giant linebacker running back legs. Like, it is a big time body, and he pushes down the slope, and that's how he generates and creates a lot of velocity. And neither one of these arms have been overworked or overused. And of course, in today's game, you just never know, you know, who's going to blow out and who's not. But both of these guys are pretty fresh arms, especially the Leiter kid who came as a draftable sophomore this year. And of course, last year was his freshman year on campus. And we know COVID shut down the season. He only pitched like 20 innings last year, and he's got like 100 innings this year. And so that's all he's got as far as mileage on the arm. Now, Kumar's got a little bit more mileage because of his freshman year, but Chip Corbin does a wonderful job at Vanderbilt taking care of his guys. And so as far as the health component, neither one of them scare me as guys that's been overused at all.
Ben McDonald, ESPN college baseball analyst, former big league pitcher, number one overall pick, who's watched Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter very closely, did their games with Vanderbilt over the weekend when they advanced to the College Baseball World Series because both guys were pretty much lights out, is our guest here. Now, I wonder, and I can't wait to hear your answer on this, Ben, do you think that the draft experts are looking at Leiter and Rocker and thinking, well, maybe their numbers were inflated because they were putting the spider tech thing on the ball? Is that why they're dropping? I'm trying to come up with reasons because they're pitching their ass off, and as you pointed out, Rocker was great 2 years ago. Is it because there's some skepticism with what they might – are they putting substances on baseballs in college baseball? I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to say they're not because, look, I've always said this, and of course, I'm calling half the Oriole games this year too on the Masson Network. Mm-hmm. And I see the Orioles up close, and I've been doing the pro ball thing for a while, but I've always said this. Whatever happens at the big league level does trickle down to the college level as well. So it would not surprise me if some guys in college were using this substance, because look, once the word gets out and you can spin it a little bit better potentially with this stuff, I think it trickles down. And you know, these high school kids and college kids work out with the pro guys during the off season, and their secrets that are shared along the way. And so I wouldn't be shocked. Now, whether Kumar and Jack's doing it, I can't say that. I mean, nobody knows for sure. But no, 2 years ago, this stuff wasn't out there as much as it is now, and Rocker put up these giant numbers. And Leiter was a kid who, you know, came on the campus last year and could really spin it and really do it. So I would say no in those cases, you know. But, look, there is a concern out there. I get it. I've been following what's going on at the, you know, at the pro level with the tacky stuff and all that kind of. And look, it's not a secret. Look, we used it. I used to use a little pine tar when I pitched in Milwaukee or early in April when the balls felt like golf balls and it was 27 degrees outside, just to be able to control the ball a little bit. We didn't know anything about spin rates, but you know, as the summer and it warmed up, you know, as far as I know, nobody used any of that stuff because then you had some moisture on your hand. You had the rosin bag, you had a little bit of sweat. And so you could feel the ball a little bit better. But we didn't know anything about spin rates. But, look, it's something to it. It's out there. It looks like Major League Baseball has addressed it. I don't like the way they addressed it. I wish they would have waited till maybe the off season to say, okay, guys, If you are using it, no more next year. And that way, because I saw the interview with Glass now, and who knows if that led to his potential tear that he has or whatever. I don't know the answer to that, but it's just kind of weird, you know, in the middle of the season to back off of it a little bit. But, you know, it's a whole other subject to me because I don't think it's just – I went back and looked, guys. Batting averages are off at the big league level 40 points from 25 years ago. And it's not just the pitching. I think it's the approach at the plate. Now, are the pitchers better? Yes. Is the stuff better? I'm not going to argue that. Yes, it is. But it is not 40 points on a batting average better. And so I think the approach at the plate for some of the hitters, and I see it every day, you know, when I'm doing Oriole games, the approach is a little bit different. In other words, I see these hitters, they're getting their A swing off no matter come hell or high water, 2-0, 0-2, whatever, I'm going to get my A swing off. That's what it's about now, you know. And so I think the approach at the plate for some hitters has to change in order to get this back where people think it's a more of a fairer game or we're seeing a few more runs being scored.
Do you like the way that baseball is played aesthetically right now? Because that seems like the biggest complaint maybe from casual fans. Forget about the batting averages being so low. But I would put myself in this category, so I'll put my own name on it. It's hard for me to watch a lot of baseball right now, Ben, because the game just features so few balls being put in play. Like there's a downturn in the amount of action you're getting in nine innings, and it's tough to watch.
Yes. No, look, I agree with you, and doing a lot of those games, I see it. I mean, we're averaging, 18 strikeouts per game between the two teams. We know what the batting averages are. And so, it seems like when the ball's hit, it goes over the fence, which is really cool. If you like strikeouts and home runs, you're loving the game right now. But I think most people want to see more balls put in play. I think they want to see more base hits. I think there's other ways to do it before we start talking about pushing the rubber back a foot, before we start making some crazy changes. I would like to say, okay, let's keep everybody on their same side of the field, no more shifts. Let's see if that creates a little bit more offense. You know,
okay.
Something simple like that, of course, is saying, okay, or look, all you infielders have to start on the dirt. You can't be out in short right field playing second base, you know, and little things like that could create more offense before we make drastic changes like pushing the rubber back. Because then I start to worry about the health of pitchers' arms, because I think it changes everything we do as a pitcher when you move the rubber back a foot, you know? And so I don't want to see crazy changes. I want to see a little bit different approach at the plate. Because, guys, go around the league and look. The hitters that are having success the last few years are the DJ LeMahieus of the world. And we got Mullins over in Baltimore where we got these shorter strokes, flatter strokes. And back in my time when we had Paul Molitors and the Wade Boggs of the world and the Kirby Puckett of the world, those guys had flat strokes. And it was short strokes, and they had a different approach with two strikes. And I think Don Mattingly said it best, and you guys probably saw it a month or so ago when he came out and said, every at-bat is different. Every situation is different for hitters. And while there are some great hitters out there, they're the best in the world, I just think the approaches right now, to me, are a little different than what they used to be. And I think if guys got back to shorten their stroke up, it used to be embarrassing to strike out. You know,
oh, it's not anymore.
Embarrassing thing,
they don't care.
It's not anymore.
Nope.
But look here, guys. If I'm a player, if I'm a Joey Gallo, a player like that, and they're paying me $15 million a year to go hit 235 and hit 30 home runs and drive in 80, why would I change?
Exactly.
And so, you know what I'm saying? So, look, it's up to the GMs to do to say, look, I'm not going to reward guys anymore for hitting 225 and hitting 30 home runs. I'm not going to do that anymore, you know? And so, the game's in a funny place, guys. And I agree with you as a fan. I want to see more action. I want to see different things. But I think taking the tacky stuff away could help a little bit. I think different approaches at the plate for hitters and maybe getting rid of the shifts and all that other kind of stuff could create a little bit more offense.
Ben McDonald, ESPN college baseball analyst, following Vanderbilt and those pitchers we've had an eye on for a year here in Pittsburgh. Hey, one more on them, Ben. You also watched Gerrit Cole at UCLA, who the Pirates picked number one overall. Was he light years ahead of these two guys? You said earlier in this interview, maybe they're not big ace potential guys, Rocker and Leiter, but they're on a fast track to the big leagues. Can either one of these guys get to that Gerrit Cole level of pitching? What do you think?
I think so. You know, Gerrit Cole, if I remember right, had an outstanding sophomore year, but his junior year wasn't great, although he was still taking number one. Of course, you had Bauer on that staff too, you know.
Yep.
And so how about that 1-2 punch, you know, but I think they can. I still like Jack. I think Jack Leiter, for me, has a bigger upside when I look at his stuff. Although, listen, Kumar Rocker, I'm telling you guys, is going to pitch 10 years to the big leagues. There's no doubt in my mind. And he's a rotation piece, you know. And so I don't think you're going to go wrong either way. But, you know, who knows what the future holds? These kids are only – I mean, Leiter's, you know, 21 years old, just fixing to make 21. Kumar's already turned 21. And we know as you get bigger and stronger, typically the velo will pick up a little bit. So who knows what the future holds as these guys. But I can tell you what, they're both ultra-competitive. They're big leaders on their team. They're the kind of guys that you want to take at the top of the draft because they're winners. And they have won where they have been, and they got a chance to win the national title again this year. And I think that means a lot, especially when you're doing it in a conference like the SEC,
which
is by far, hands down, the best competition you can play every weekend, you know. And so it tells me a lot. This is not some couple of kids coming from some mid-major school that you've never heard of that doesn't play big-time competition. These guys have been in the fire.
Yep.
They fit under big, big circumstances, and I love that about them. And so I think they're winners, they're big leaguers, and in the Pickford Pirates, look, It wouldn't shock me at all if they took one of these guys because I think they're big-time performers. But I don't know how good these high school shortstops are.
Same.
I don't know what the needs are of certain teams either.
Ben, one more for you. I know you're a Louisiana guy, born in
Baton. I got married in New Orleans, Ben.
I know. New Orleans is an amazing city.
I love it.
Every time I've been there, I've loved it. And I love, you know, the Cajun food, the Creole food. However –
yeah, you wait till you hear
this
one, Ben.
This is a tragic tale, Ben. You know people can be mean on Twitter, and it, you know, the target doesn't deserve it. In this case, I did. I posted a picture of what you might call gumbo, but other people might call something very much not gumbo, and got roasted for it. So I need, to avoid this ever happening again, I need straight from you your best gumbo-making tip.
Ooh.
Ooh. The key to a good gumbo or the key to a good etouffee is the roux. Like, it's where you start with the flour and the butter and the roux. My wife is a real Cajun woman. Desitelle was the maiden name. And that's about as touch, I call it French as it gets. Her daddy never spoke a word of English until the fifth grade. And
damn.
So she can really cook. I mean, really cook. So I watch her cook sometimes. And the key to all that stuff is the beginning. It's the roux and what you put into it, and that kind of gets you going. Once you get it going, us folks down here in Louisiana, there's no telling. I always tell people, don't dig too deep in the bottom of a pot because there's no telling what's going to come up. And I'm going to tell you guys a quick true story. My mother-in-law, my sister's, or my wife's mother,
yep,
is as Cajun as it gets, and she made a chicken stew one time, guys, and I went back for seconds, and I dug deep into the pot, and you know what came out deep into that pot was the chicken feet. She had put the chicken feet of a chicken in the daggum stew. And I was like, Margaret, listen, they got thighs and wings and everything, all the good meat. She said, baby, look, just save those chicken feet for me. And so, of course, I did. You know, I lost my appetite right away. But they don't waste anything.
Ben, Chris's gumbo looked like pulled pork over a bed of rice.
It was horrible plating.
It looked like pulled pork.
Ben, you know what the worst part is? I'm dead serious. Andrew's right. It did look like that. I put way too much rice in because I was hungry. And I took a picture thinking I was hot stuff and said, gumbo, ha, ha, ha. I simmered it too long. I even got the roux correct. I simmered it too long, and it got too thick.
Ben, Emeril tweeted it and made fun of him for it.
Oh, I got
Emeril
roasted.
Emeril Lagasse went after him.
I got roasted. It was bad. I hope Andrew doesn't dig it up and send it to you because you're going to make fun of me.
Just keep working at it. Just keep working at it. You'll get it. Just take some time.
Hey, Ben, enjoy Omaha this week, and maybe we'll talk again when we get closer to the draft, okay?
Yes, sir. Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
There you go. Ben McDonald.
That was fun.
Yep.
That was fun. I enjoyed that immensely.
Does that change your opinion on Leiter and Rocker? Makes me want Leiter a lot more.
If he's just saying Kumar
Rocker is a rotation piece? Ooh.
I had moved more to the Leiter camp a while ago. Remember, Rocker struck out all the guys on Duke, threw the no-hitter, basically told them, come get some, and everyone loved them because everyone hates Duke. But the tide had turned towards Leiter,
Craig?
I felt like, in recent months.
That do anything for you?
It does. I was a Leiter guy anyways because Jack Sorensic always said bloodlines.
The first syllable out of his mouth when I heard it, I was like, well, there's going to be a gumbo question.
We
at
got
the
a
end
dad gum
interview.
In there.
Oh, some dad gums.
Keith Butler, a big fan of that interview.
Dad gummit, Margaret.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.